Me in these first two verses, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And may God add his blessing as we begin this year in the Word. May it be an opportunity for us to grow richly in that Word. Over two decades ago, a man by the name of Dr. Oliver Sacks wrote a book that became the film Awakenings, and it was based upon his clinical work at the Veterans Administration Hospital in New York City. In this film, Dr. Sacks deals with the power that is found in simply being alive today. And he deals with this dilemma of the power of being alive today within the context of trial and tragedy in real life in his patients. Because Dr. Sacks worked with patients who had been unconscious for decades. Incredibly, he discovered how to awaken his patients, some of whom had been in a sleep of death through most of their lives and had literally slept through their lives. Their lives had passed them by. They were not dead, but they could not see, they could not hear, they could not speak. They never communicated with friends or family. And then, seemingly miraculously, these poor unconscious souls awakened one after another. They did not experience life as we do. Upon their awakening, they experienced it very differently. Some were just bouncing in joy, simply experiencing the simplest of things, such as touching, tasting. One of his patients found it joyous just to be able to make the decision whether to go to the left or to go to the right. Touching was deeply moving for these people. When they faced the outside world together, they laughed, they sang, they danced. They knew one thing and they knew it fully. This moment was their life. They realized they'd been given a gift of a moment. And they used that gift of that moment, of now, with an awareness that went beyond anything most of us think about. They took it for all it was worth. They drank fully from the cup of today that they were given. And then, slowly, the rigid, frozen, catatonic paralysis descended upon them once again. And they said goodbye to life because of reentry into unconsciousness. This is awful, and yet we do it every day, even today, where we consciously enter into unconsciousness and sleep through today, and by doing that we sleep through our lives, and we miss today. Every day that we are alive, that we do this, we miss today. Sometimes we become aware of what we're doing, and we stop, and we think about it, and we consider it lost time. Was it really lost time? What time is it? Isn't this the right time, beginning of a new year, isn't this the right time to consider the one thing we have, which is time? And we do have it, every one of us today. Here we are. We have made it through 2009. Whether it's been a good year for us or what we'd say is a bad year, whether it's been a year filled with joys or a year filled with struggles, or, as the case is with most of us, a combination of both, by God's grace, we have made it. Whatever the difficulties or the joys, it's a year and a time that will never come again because it is past time. We're different. Every one of us is different than we were a year ago when we began it. We have labored, we have laughed, we've cried, we have grown. And for those of us who know Jesus Christ, we know that all that we have faced has ultimately happened for our good and for God's glory, and that we've been brought through all that we've faced so that we can be more and more in conformity with Jesus Christ. And now we're starting a new year. And the always much awaited New Year's Day has come and it's gone like a breath, as the psalm says, it's gone. It's the one day of the year that is celebrated by everyone around the world. It's the foremost day in our life about time. And we're obsessed with time. If we wonder the kinds of things that we are obsessed about, we are obsessed with time. Some of it is a good obsession. It helps us accomplish things. Some of it is bad. The new year, though, is a time to think about time and how we're going to use it. A new year means passing time. The old year is over and a new year has begun. And our culture has so many ways to reflect about time. This time, next time, last time, past time, good time, bad time, my time, your time, personal time, rotten time, quality time, quiet time, great time, lousy time. Even the theme song of New Year, which is Auld Lang Syne, means old, long time. We're obsessed with time. Because after all is said and done, this is the one thing that we have. We may have money, we may not. We may have a good life, we may not. But we all, every one of us today, has time. And however we decide to use our time, there inevitably comes a time when we realize that our time is up. Unfortunately, it seems that when we think about time, we often think about everything regarding time except the only time that really means something. This is not the last time for any of us. This is not another time. This is not next time. What time is it? What time is it that really means something? It is this time. This time. That means today. It is today. It is now. Our 3-year-old grandson, Jackson, was leaving for his home early this morning. I said to him last night, Jackson, I miss you already. And he just looked at me and said, you don't have to miss me, Grandpa. I'm here now. Have you been reading my books, kid? I honestly stopped and just marveled because he was exactly right. Whether we have a short time or a long time, we all have this time, today, now. And so, in all that we think about time, it's right here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, we get an absolutely incredible perspective about time, which is the most significant reality about time, at least from the heart of a 3-year-old. Now is the acceptable time. And what makes this biblical reality and truth so incredibly interesting to me is the fact that for most people, now is never the acceptable time. Now is the time that must pass to get to the hope for real time. Now is the time that gets in the way of hopes and dreams and possibilities. Now, to most people, is an impediment, something to get through and not think about so that we can hurry on to the next time or another time or a better time or the future time, which we somehow think will be an acceptable time. This view in our lives starts really early. When we're children, we want time to pass more quickly so that we can be older. When we're older, we really want time to slow down so that we can have more time. We rarely embrace the time that we are given right now because we seem to always be fighting against time. One of the songs of the iconic rock group, the Rolling Stones, went like this. Time is on my side. Yes, it is. I remember, though, the interview with Mick Jagger, who wrote that song, 20 years after he wrote that song, and how he almost punched the interviewer who simply asked him this question. How does it feel to be 45? When he was 25, singing that song was easy for him. to believe that time was on his side. But time had become horrible for him when he was 45. And now Mick Jagger is 66. A new year is upon us. Every day that we're alive, time is on our side. We have today. We have right now to live. And in order to live it well, we need to learn how to view time. And we can. Right now, just very quickly, by looking at three of time's most favorite accomplices. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. L'chaim. Yesterday. This is where we become most readily and easily unbiblical. By dwelling on the past. Dwelling on past mistakes. Dwelling on past indiscretions. Dwelling on past sins. In doing this, we do, what we're doing is to, as the saying goes, live in the past. And when we do this, when we're living in the past, we become slaves to something that we can never, ever retrieve. Past time. We become held in bondage by time that's over. I'm not saying do not repent of sin. Certainly we have to repent of sin. I'm simply reminding us that after repentance is accomplished, sin is over. It's forgiven, forgotten, not remembered, held against us by God any longer. And we must, as the apostle says, forget what lies behind. Forget it. Because if it's not a nice memory that will draw you closer to Christ, it is a snare that will hurl you into despair. Then there is tomorrow. Here we become unbiblical by fearing the uncertainties of the future. Many people live in the fears and the uncertainties of the future and are crippled by these fears. I see it all the time. They never try anything. They never accomplish anything because they're afraid that in the future they may fail. And so while some regret the past, others dread the future, and some both regret the past and dread the future. As the folk song of the 60s put it, yesterday's dead and tomorrow is blind. Living in tomorrow robs us of all that God has given us today. Consider your future. Plan for your future. But don't fret over your future. You may not have a future. Leave it, well, you do have a future until it's taken. And that future you have is always in your present life. Leave it in the Lord's hands, because you may not even make it till tomorrow, and then you will have squandered now. You will have ruined today by dwelling on what does not even and may never, ever exist. And finally, there is today. Jesus says to live today. When he says in Matthew 6:34, do not worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But we're not to just view today as that entity which has enough trouble of its own. Today is far more than simply a trouble-filled entity. Jesus spoke that way to keep us out of the dead troubles of yesterday. You don't need to deal with the dead troubles. Deal with the troubles that are happening today. And yet, the non-existent troubles of tomorrow are also to be kept from us. Jesus goes further. Today, Jesus says, is the acceptable time. Acceptable for what? 2 Corinthians 6:2 goes on to say that today is the acceptable time because it is the day of salvation. Today is that day that is the acceptable time for you to proclaim Jesus Christ. Today is that day that is the acceptable time for you to live a righteous and a holy life without shame. Today is that time to have, plain and simple, an acceptable time. Acceptable to God and acceptable for you to live in this day and be thankful for today, to enjoy today, to redeem today for God, to deal with any sins, any shortcomings in your life. Today is the acceptable time for you to get more involved in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Today is the acceptable time for you to get more involved in a serious committed study of His Word. Today is the acceptable time for you to get more involved in a ministry in the church. Today is the acceptable time for you to begin using your gifts that maybe you were afraid to use, embarrassed to use, didn't think that you had. Today is the time to use those gifts in new ways, first ways, exciting ways. What kinds of things is it that the Lord is having you deal with in your life today? Deal with them today. What kinds of sins is the Lord calling you to repent of? Repent of them today. Now is the only acceptable time. The reality of now is the essential quality of our being. It is now that we live our life for Christ. What we deal with now. We may think about what I'm going to deal with, but we never deal with it until it's now, and that's when we deal with it. What we experience now. In every traumatic situation that we face, whatever the outcome, whether it's good or bad, what happens to us now and how we choose to respond to it now, that's, you know what that is? That's our life. That is what our life is. In these experiences of now, to which we awaken ourselves, the force and the power of the explosion of now in our life is that for that instant, eternity invades time. We can see it this way. In the instant of now, however long it is, time stands still, even as it inexorably marches over us. For most of us, now is never the right time. Now is the time that gets in the way. Now is an impediment. We're always fighting against now. We're always fighting against life today. We settle for a fragment of life, a fragment of seeing, a fragment of being. We need to wake up in order to be alive. Jesus never forces us to open our eyes and to wake up and live. Jesus never forces His life on anyone. It's up to us to let His life explode in us and through us today. The now of today is so powerful in the hands of Jesus that our lives are never the same every time we experience now. And God, in graciousness, reveals a tiny bit more of His amazing eternal glory to us. The power of today, the power of now, molded by the Spirit of God, is far more significant than we almost ever let it be. Let me illustrate the power today brings now in our lives through Christ. This is a true story about a man who is broken and was healed right now. Two men enter into the now of this man's broken life. They have the choice of walking past this man. They can shut their eyes to the torment that has plagued this man all of his life, or they can stop, open their eyes, and in Jesus, let now, the now of that interactive confrontation with this helpless, hopeless man, inflict itself upon their souls so that they are changed by this encounter. So allow me to introduce the two men, Peter and John. They're followers of Jesus. They're about to stop and enter into the wasteland of human brokenness. Their eyes are wide open because where they are is right now. And as their friend Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the moment of salvation. This is how biblical thinking works itself out. It all happens in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are going up to the temple at 3:00 in the afternoon for the time of prayer. They're on their way to where they're going, They're not looking for a miraculous situation to pep up the day. Their eyes are not waiting to fall on some helpless soul that they might possibly heal. They're bored, you know, no healings have happened in the last day or two. They are living now. And all they are doing now is heading to the 3 o'clock prayer meeting when they see a man who has been a helpless cripple since the day he was born. This crippled man has been carried to the temple gate called Beulah, beautiful, where his friends leave him today, day after today after today, so that he can beg for money from those who are going into the temple. Let us think about this. All of the time that has made up this man's life has been spent on the ground, looking up into the faces of people as he begs for a penny or a nickel or a dime in Jewish equivalents. He has lived his entire life, right from birth, with a broken body and inevitably broken dreams. Then along comes Peter and John, followers of Jesus Christ, and they pass this poor wretch of a man as he begs them for whatever meager monies that they may have to spare. This is the moment of his life. This is a man who has done all that he can do today. It brings him to that spot at the gate by the temple. This is a man who is not sat around as a passive victim waiting only to die. This is a man who has done all that he can do. But he knows what all of us know deep down, that all that we can do is never enough. For most of us, never enough still leaves us enough to scrape by, standing up, looking eye to eye in people's faces. For this forever unnamed man. And you know, as I read and reread it, I kept thinking, I must be missing something. He's so significant. Somewhere there is a recounting of his name. But he's the man. He's this man. He's that man. That's all he is remembered as. For this man, never enough means spending his life chained to the ground forever. Today for him means that he has been put in the path of healing. He does not have a clue about this. No, he can't even imagine this. He's not waiting to be healed. He's waiting for a penny. You see, this though is where he is, because today he is where Jesus is. And so when this crippled and broken man sees Peter and John about to enter the temple gates, he asks them for money. This is now a moment that will never, ever happen again. When Peter and John pass him, they hear him. They hear his plea for money. They stop. And yet they have none. None of what this man values and most desires from them, because they have no money. However, they do not just walk on by. This is their today, the now of their life. He's not some irrelevant, useless beggar to them. They do as Jesus always does. They stop. Peter and John look right into his eyes. And I love that. They are in no way dismissing this man. They are attempting to look into the depth of his being. Literally, it's they fasten their eyes on this man. Then Peter says, "Look at us." This is the spirit-filled interaction of the men opening their eyes into the depths of each other's life. Again, literally, Peter is saying, "Look into us." This man looks back at them, hoping for some quick cash. He is obviously unconscious. He is not at all awake to what is happening in his life today, happening now. He is still a broken, crippled, helpless man. That's how he lives. That's how he thinks. And that is about to change now. To this point, though, now has been the acceptable time only for crawling on the ground and begging for pennies. But at this moment, now is the acceptable time for healing and salvation. Quick cash is not the outcome. Not for this man. Peter says, in effect, I am sorry. I am broke. I don't have a penny to my name. But what I do have, I am going to give to you now. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah from Nazareth, walk. It's an unbelievable situation. Peter tells him that, well, they have no money. They do indeed have something for him, something better, something now, something forever. As Peter takes him by his right hand and helps him up, instantly, this man's feet and ankles become strong. This man jumps to his feet and he begins to walk. Where does he go? Where does he walk? Where will he take his first walk? It's a brand new reality to him. He can walk anywhere now. He's able to walk. He's able to go where he wants. He was never, ever able to do that. So let's see, where does he go? He goes with Peter. He goes with John into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. He leaps about from place to place just like a giddy little boy. This moment, which has been his life, crippled bondage, is no longer his moment. Today, through Peter and John, this man meets Jesus. Today is the moment where healing meets him right on that spot. It is here that something happens to him, to this man now, that changes his life today and forever. And in spite of the absolute impossibility, today is changed. And this change is not simply because this man's body has changed. Wholeness. He is about to see wholeness is far more than being able to stand up and sit down. Today is the day that has never been before for him and never will be again. Today is unique. Today is unrepeatable. And that's the way it is for all of us every day, friends. But today for him is unrepeatable. Today is his life. Today what happens cannot be compared with a nickel, a dime, or even a house filled with gold. Today he encounters Jesus Christ through two men who each in their own way have been just as broken as he has been. When all the people see this man, a man they know, walking and praising God, they recognize him. They recognize this is the crippled man. They cannot help but recognize him because he is the same man who has been sitting all his life begging for nickels and pennies and dimes at the beautiful gate of the temple. All of these people are filled with amazement and wonder at what has happened to him. This unnamed crippled beggar leaps his way straight into the temple court of God to praise the one who loves him and gave himself for him. He knows now, and he knows forever, that he is walking in the name of Jesus Christ. If we want to know the real forever, we have to become acquainted with now and with Jesus Christ, because now in Jesus, like forever, is the absence of moments, the absence of linearity. It is the experience instead of pure reality. Most of us are no different than this crippled man. We spend our life hoping for a penny, a nickel or a dime. We hope that someone passing us will stop and be merciful as they pass us. Leonard Cohen, who, by the way, has been called Canada's Prince of Poets, cries out in one of his songs, by the way, a song which so impacted Nancy and myself when we were first converted, that we wrote to him and tried to begin interaction with him based upon, well, for Nancy, it was an entire history of his writing, his poetry, his music. But for me, this song impacted me so deeply. Please don't pass me by. Please don't pass me by. I am blind and I can't see. I've been blinded totally. So please don't pass me by. Those are the words from Leonard Cohen. And like Leonard Cohen, we wait for someone to stop and not pass us by. We fill our lives with a hope that tomorrow will be better than today, that something will happen to us the day after today or the day after that. We hope that somehow tomorrow we'll find someone who stops and who does not pass us by. It never happens like that. There was no sequel to Leonard Cohen's song. It doesn't happen like that. It cannot happen like that. The only day that can ever be different is today. Today never occurs just because we're on a vacation. We wait for it. Today is never at the holiday resort while we hope for it. Today is not the inheritance we have dreamed about for 30 years. Today is not the man or the woman of our dreams. Today, now, is reality. Today is not simply 86,400 seconds. It is eternity in the present moment. The only day that can ever be different is today, now, because today is the only day that we have. Today is a gift. And yet we let today pass by, unnoticed, unannounced, unrejoiced over. We rarely open our eyes to see that in Christ, today, all of our hopes and all of our dreams are being realized today. Instead, we lose today as we wait and we hope for someone to stop and please not pass us by. You make those dreams become real for me. And we wait, our hope filling with increasing despair. We wait like a blind or crippled beggar for intervention rather than in Christ taking charge of today and taking charge of the life that we have been given today. Whether it's on the ground or soaring in the heights, I marvel at the man I read about. I was reading about this man who, from a freak sporting accident, became a quadriplegic. And he describes his body as wet cement. And yet here's what he said when asked about it. I wouldn't trade it for a completely healthy body. And in the interview that he was asked about that, he said he wasn't joking. And he was asked why. He said, because I've learned the secret of blessing. In the state that I'm in, he was saying, I have been able to be used in ways that I never, ever could have been used when I was not challenged physically like this. Never, even while I was an elite football player and then a champion triathlete. What an attitude about life. We're so much like that crippled beggar, glued to the ground, waiting for a penny, a nickel, a dime, tomorrow or the tomorrow after tomorrow. Tomorrow is when we think we can live. We are meant, though, to live and to leap and to fly now, today, even if we're glued to the ground. The only time that ever really means anything is now, today, because now is the acceptable time. The regrets of yesterday are dead. The fears of tomorrow are yet unborn. Why lose the only day of our life today because of yesterday or tomorrow? And so instead of being alive today, it is almost as if we walk through today oblivious and unconscious. It is all too easy to go through life unconscious. When we give away today, we give away our life. We need to be awake. And when we're awakened, we are conscious. We realize that all we need is available to us in Jesus. In Him, we have, as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, everything that is necessary for our lives and for godliness. Regardless, friends, of whether everyone has passed us by, Jesus has not passed us by. Jesus has stopped in front of us. Now is the time for us to open our eyes and look to Jesus, and to look into the eyes of Jesus who fastens His eyes upon us. As Peter says in Acts 3:19, to all who see the miracle of the man who is crippled and his life is changed and he's healed, he says, this is the time for you to turn to God. In other words, look to Him and be saved so that your sins may be blotted out and a time, a day of refreshment may come upon you from the Lord. Peter's call to turn to Christ, to stand up and live, is not a call for tomorrow. His call is not for when things get better. His call is not for when things get worse. His call is for right now, because now is the time to call upon the name of the Lord. Now is the time to walk. Now is the time to leap. Now is the time to praise God. Now is the only time to do it. There cannot be any other time, because there is only now. This is our time. Let us not waste it on begging for pennies when Jesus wants us to leap and dance and live and praise Him. The only time we can do this is now, because today is the only time there is. Now is the right time. If you've not turned to Jesus Christ, turn to Him now. Jesus will not always be stopping in front of you, extending His hand to you, His invitation to you. Turn to Him now, today, while His hand is extended, while there is still time. As the text says, this is the day of salvation. Don't put it off for another today. And that means that the forgiveness of God is available to you today. And all that you must do is to trust Him and commit yourself to Him, saying, Father, I have sinned against You. I need Your salvation. I confess my sin. I beseech You to accept me today in the day of Your great salvation. And do you know something? God will accept you. God will forgive you. God will wash you whiter than snow today. If you do not turn to Him, there will come a time when you will call and God will pass you by. May this never be. Turn to Him today and live. If you have repented of your sins and turned to Jesus Christ, then be assured that He will never, ever pass you by. Continually turn to Him every moment of your life. He is there. Behind you, beside you, before you, strengthening you, encouraging you, helping you, protecting you, empowering you. All you have to do now and every now is avail yourself of Him. It is nice to wish each other a happy new year. We must remember, though, that such a hopeful, wonderful year can only be wonderful today. God tells us in Lamentations 3:23 that His love and kindness is new to us every day, every morning. That is, we need to remember that God's love and kindness is new today. It's not new every week. It is not new every month. It is not new every year. It is new every morning. This is the way it should be. This is the way we should see it. This is how we should live, because this is the way it is. This is the way of life. This is the way it works. If today is not wonderful for us now, when will it be? When can it be? Friends, today is a great day, because today is an acceptable day, because today is a day of salvation. because today Christ is extending himself to you. And his mercies are new every day. And if God is calling you to himself today, to get up from the ground, to walk, to sing, to praise him in his holy temple, then do it. Do it today. Can you imagine, just, I don't know if it's even possible to imagine it, but can you imagine if that poor, crippled beggar had thought, even for a moment, get up. I can't get up. I can't get up because I can't walk. Why are they asking me this? I asked them for a penny and they tell me stand up and walk. What are they asking me to do? They're asking me to do something I can never do because I never have ever done it. But you can, because you can receive Jesus today. This is the only day you have to receive Jesus and stand up and walk and rejoice and live. Yesterday's dead. Tomorrow's blind. Today is the day of salvation. And whether you accept that or not, that is the way it is. And when it's that way, and when it's that day of salvation for you, then every day of your life will be a new day. And every year will be a truly new year, one which will always be for you a very happy and blessed new year. Live it for him. Engage in it. Enjoy it now, today, and every today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Christ comes to us in the power of the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He doesn't say, this is the year the Lord has made, but you say, this is the day. And Father, we can accept that today, every day that it is called today. Whereas in your word it says, as long as it is today. It doesn't even say in that word, as long as it's time, linear moments passing. It says, as long as it is still called today. God, you've given us this gift to enter into something that is a mystery today. Our minds are so quick to fall from today and enter back into the terrible regrets of yesterday, the horrible uncertainties of tomorrow, when this is the day. Today is the day the Lord has made. God, help us by your mercy and grace to put aside yesterday, forget what is behind, and reach forward to what is ahead by rejoicing in the day that you have made and given to us as a gift in our lives. Today, may today in Jesus be a great day for each one of us here, a day of service, a day of worship, a day of ministry, a day of blessing. For we pray today in his name. Amen.